One of the assets of our congregation is that we have an older population. And what that means is that if you're like me, you've got some aches and pains and some parts of our body, we're beginning to feel our age. Well, this place is going to be a terrific place to learn how to do healing, because we have a lot of folks that need healing among us. So this is going to be a skill. I have Dan Prout bring his team to every church that I have ever had, and he teaches healing in such a way that it does not make the congregation sick. Is that a good way to put it? He teaches a form of healing that we Presbyterians can swallow. And you're going to love it. I use, when I went to his seminar the first time, I've used his, I don't want to say techniques, but they are. I use his methodology almost every day. And I can tell you that if you want to take a new step, a deeper step, a greater step in terms of your spiritual growth, this is the place to be next month at this here. Okay, we have just a few moments, and I want to share with you a message about the Holy Spirit. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of John chapter 16, and Jesus is almost out the door, so to speak. He is talking to his disciples. He's had the Last Supper. He did a, he has some comments. He has a prayer. And almost, some of the very last words he talks about are the role of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. And he starts off in John chapter 16, down at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Let's just stop right there. I've been in the faith for ever since my teenage years, although I certainly sort of grew up, well, I didn't sort of. I grew up in a Christian home, and I have to say that, you know, one would think that by now I would know most of the things that I need to know. Well, over time, the Holy Spirit has trained me, educated me, conformed me after the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. I've made adjustments in my life to follow Him. But he's saying this, and he's making the comment, and it has a sobering impact on me. I wonder how much more Jesus would tell me, but I can't handle it quite yet. I have a couple of dear friends, a fellow named Ron, who runs one of the largest, he's the CEO, founder and CEO of a huge Fortune, probably a Fortune 10 company, and he has 16,000 employees, and he and I hit it off several years ago, and we email each other back and forth, and he has an issue with his family and with one of his children, and I have been trying to give him a perspective on his situation. And I have noticed over the years that as I have commented, there are some things that I can see very, very clearly about him. You know, sometimes people can see our situation more clearly than we can see it. We become like a fish in a fishbowl, and we think that that's all there is, but people outside the fishbowl looking inside can say, well, this is what you're dealing with here. One time I was scuba diving down in the Bahamas, and I especially like the coral formations that can, they start down on the bottom, say 100 feet down, maybe 70 feet down, and they can rise and they can climb almost to the surface of the water. They can be 30, 50, 70 feet tall. And it's just fascinating to go up and down these big columns. And every so often, you'll see a ledge overhanging the water. Not the water, just midway up, you'll see a ledge hanging out. And I have an interest in looking at what kind of operates the ecosystem underneath that ledge. And I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I was so surprised. I found a bunch of, and I found this several times, a bunch of fish who were, had their, this was their home underneath the ledge. And instead of being upright like normal, they had adjusted themselves so that they were swimming upside down as if the bottom of the ledge were the ground. Did I explain that well enough? They were swimming upside down. Okay, now, if I were to go up to one of those fish and say, hey, you're swimming upside down, they would say, no, we're not. There's the ground right there. You know, it's real to them. Okay, I could see them and their situation. I don't know what kind of fish these are, and I don't know what that phenomenon is. I would be interested to learn if you happen to know. But that's what my friend is going through, and I spotted it early on, and so I've been talking to him over the years by way of email, and I have noticed that over time, his eyes have slowly, grudgingly resisted the idea of what I've been saying, but he's sort of coming around, and he's beginning to see what I saw going on in his life years ago. And I saw what's going on in my friend Ron surely goes on in me. That there are people, some of you, my wife, who can see things going on inside of me that I can't see. And that if people try to talk to me about some of those things, there's just a human natural response to resist, especially if it's insulting. And so I have to believe that there are some things in verse 12 that where Jesus is saying, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been resistant. There are things that you know that I don't know. And Lord, for the remaining days that I have, I want to pledge once again that I want you to speak to me. I want you to tell me more. Tell me more about myself. Tell me more about what I need to do. Tell me more about what you are doing. And I would hope that you would take these words seriously. Now, here's immediately what he goes into. He says, following on with that, there's more to bear. He says, here's the solution. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I like how Jesus described the Holy Spirit. Normally that's his name, Holy Spirit. He calls him the Spirit of truth. You know, there are some deep, deep truths that we have in the faith. Christ is our Savior. Christ was here. He spoke the truth. He is both God and fully human. It's a mystery how he pulled that off. That he died, that he was raised from the dead. There are some things that we hold as being secure and being fundamental and primal to us. But Jesus didn't finish telling us all the truth that's out there. And that he said, I gotta go. My end is here. I'm gonna be going through a pretty horrendous experience. And it's a good thing that I'm going, because this Holy Spirit is going to be with you now. Not just me, but the Holy Spirit is going to be with all of you. He says that this is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all the truth. Now, this is not just truth like Jesus is the Son of God, but truth like here are areas in your life and in my life where you and I need to grow and mature. This morning I had heard about this group that meets over at it isn't Starbucks, what is it? Michael's? Oh, Pete's, that's it. That's the guy. Pete's Coffee. And so I walked in there this morning, a little about 8:30, and here were, I don't know, seven. Yeah, there had to be seven. Were there seven? Okay, so I said, I walked in there and they greeted me and they said, David, was it your wife? Where's David now? Oh, it was your wife. Yeah, She said, this is the Seven Sinners Club. And I thought, was it you? Yeah, And I thought to myself, this is a group that I probably need to belong to. Can we make it eight? Well, I'm glad that that group has that knowledge about themselves. I don't mean to make that as an accusation. They own the title themselves. But it's good for us that the Holy Spirit, it's good for us to know that the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to tell us the truth about ourselves, to get us down the road, to make us more in alignment with Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who will guide us into those truths that we need to make adjustments in our life so that we can be better, more faithful disciples and followers of Jesus. Now notice one last thing here. It continues on and it says, he will not speak on his own. Do you remember the last message I had with you 2 weeks ago? We were looking at several verses in the book of John where John reports and records Jesus' statements, several of them, that were basically, I don't speak on my own. I am dependent upon the Father. I have set aside all of my God, all of my deity characteristics. I've set them all aside. I am a dependent human being just like everybody else. And Jesus modeled for us that he did not do the things that he did on his own, but he saw the Father doing them. And now the Holy Spirit comes along and says he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So you and I have been modeled by Jesus and now the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit speaks and moves in you and me, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that is going to be getting messages from the Father and prompting you and me as to what to do and to believe and to know and to behave. This week, the small groups are continuing their study, and this week it's in the book of, chapter 8. Where it talks about God's invitation to join him in his work. And the lead verse, the beginning verse of that chapter, comes from the book of Philippians, and it says, for it is God who is working in you. You know what? I know this about you. I've said several things about you. One of the things that I know about you is that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose. I want to assure you, folks, that the Spirit of God has you doing what you need to be doing. You and I worry, am I being obedient enough? Well, we can always obey more. But you don't have to worry about the fundamental purpose of your life being, you know, being misdirected and being misled. If you and I come to the place where we submit and hold ourselves dependent upon the Holy Spirit working in your life and mine, we can trust that God is big enough, powerful enough to do the work in you and me that God wants to do. We don't have to beg God to do that. We don't have to coerce ourselves to do it. We can trust that the Spirit of God is at work in you and me to bring our lives in conformity to the likeness and the image of Christ. And that's the prayer that I want to close with for you, is to pray that blessing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are very grateful that the Holy Spirit is now with us. We're asking, Holy Spirit, that we would be more alert, conscious, intent, focused on your work in our life. That you would lead us into all the truth. That you would tell us what is to come. That you would show us those things that we need to do and acts that we need to perform. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us. Help us to make you the master. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to walk with you. That you would be inside of us, counseling us, comforting us, telling us the truth. And that you would give us hearts that are willing to submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.